I think we are all sleeping. I want to shout another one more time. And I want this roof to be taken off. You know, we Pentecostals were born in noise. So we can do anything. We can praise God, we can shout. Because the day of Pentecost, it was shouting that brought the crowd. It was sound abroad. So prepare yourself. Breathe in and fill your lungs with capacity of air. And I want this roof to be taken off. We need a sunshine. I'm filling my lungs. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to count. And I want you to shout. I will tell you something. I was reading Wigglesworth book, and he was telling me they were having a meeting, and there was a preacher who had a son. He wasn't saved, and he always came to the church sitting at the back, listening to everything. So they invited a guest preacher who came, and he started preaching. And the preaching was very hot, that this guy who has never been to church before started to say, "Praise the Lord." And whenever he shouted, "Praise the Lord," all the congregation turned their back to look at this guy. And then one of the members said, "Don't worry, he's not established. Do not worry, he's not established. You see, when you are established, you don't make noise. You sit down quiet, be established, be like others, be like the church that are dead. No. You see? But we are not dead. We are not serving a dead God. We are serving a living God. So I want you to fill your lungs with capacity of air and start to shout for the Lord today as never before. He wants to hear your voice. Praise the Lord!
Amen!
Amen. Lord. Yes! Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. May your presence bring joy, satisfaction, peace, strength, ability, wisdom to your people this morning, and quicken their spirit, because the first Adam was born as a living soul, but you were born as a quickened spirit, the spirit that quickened you from the grave. May that spirit quicken us today. Amen. Fill us today. Empower us today. Cleanse us today. Wash us today. Purify us today. Because, Lord, we are here to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. from chair to chair, touching everyone that is here as never before. May the anointing that breaks the yoke be upon each and every one. Those that are suffering, those that are sick, those that are depressed, those that are weak, in Jesus' name, by his power and authority, lift them up. Let them know that there is a lifting up in you. You are a God that lifted Peter out from drowning. So today, may the Holy Ghost fire fall afresh upon this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Today we are going to study something about revival and about anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. We are going to know why revival tarries. Revival tarries when God's people are not praying, when they are taking everything cool and easy, when there is no fire burning like the fire of John Wesley. He said, I set myself on fire and allow the people to come and see me burning. Amen. And that is what we need to be. We have to be a burning fire. Anybody who claims to be a Christian, you have to have the fire of Christ, the power of Christ. This is a long chapter, but I'm not going to read all the verses and the verses here, because if I'm going to read it all, we will all be sleeping. Some will be dozing. But I don't want you to sleep. It's about Elijah and Elisha. We are going to study how Elisha received a double portion of Elijah. When the pastor sent a message to me to preach, I was fighting what I have to preach today. I was shaking. I say, Lord, if you don't give me a message, I don't know what I'm going to tell them. And he told me to read 2 Kings chapter 2. And my, what a message. Fair. If we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 19, it's going to be long. We all know about Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God, a man who stood against so many prophets. He challenged them about their sacrifice. He challenged them to let everybody to be sure about the God they were serving. Baal gods or the God of Israel. And when the challenge was given to them, they prepared a sacrifice, an altar. He asked them to kill the bull and the cows and everything and make the altar. They did it. And he asked them to pray to their God to send fire. But according to the word of God, the Bible says, they cried and cried and prayed and prayed and prayed. There was no answer. He started to laugh and scorn them and telling them to call upon God because maybe he's on the run. Maybe he's attending somewhere. And they were crying and praying to God, cutting themselves with knife and everything. But there was no answer. Why? Because their God was a dead God. A God that can hear. A God that has hands, has legs, has nose, has everything, but he can't move. They cried unto Baal, and Baal never answered their prayer. But when it came to Elijah, he says, stand quiet, make the altar, put water on it, put everything you like. They filled the altar with water and everything, and he didn't spend much time praying. All the prayer he said, O God of Abraham,
amen.
Send the fire. And the Bible says the fire fell. Today, we want God to let the fire fall again.
Amen.
Amen. So I start my verse here from verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. This is a man who wants to pay the price and go through with Jesus. If you want to pay the price to win God, to serve God, you need to keep on pressing on. You need to say no to the devil and say yes to God.
Amen.
That is what Elisha did. So the Bible says, Elijah told Elisha to stay in Jordan because he was going to be taken up by God. And Elisha said, no, 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 no. As long as you live, as long as you are alive, I will never leave you. I will go with you. Do you people remember or know that Elijah also had a servant before Elisha? But that servant received the same instruction that we are hearing here, but he stayed at Bathsheba because he didn't have the desire to follow on. So the Bible says both of them went. And hear what it happened. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on the dry ground. You know what God spoke to me in that verse? Do you people remember when the children of Israel were going to the promised land? They came to the Red Sea. When they saw the Red Sea, they were disappointed. They were discouraged. Because when they looked back, Pharaoh and his men, taskmasters, were coming. And instead of them to stand still and see what God would do for them, they started to cry. They cried and cried. And God heard their cry. He said, why are they crying? He said, let them go forward. If these people were men and women who believed the word of God, they would have gone through God, through the Red Sea. They would have been the first people to walk on water before Jesus. God could have performed a supernatural miracle for them. But when God said, let them go forward, they were still standing. Still standing with doubt in their hearts. But this was not in the same thing against Elijah in Elisha. When they came to the Jordan River, the Bible says Elijah took the mantle, hallelujah, and smote the waters and divided it. What a powerful man he was. Amen. So they walked on the dry ground. And then verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smoothed the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on the dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee. Oh, I love that. I pray thee. Let a double portion of thy spirit hear upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, Elisha. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up, but the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. This is where I want you to catch it. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent it. Rent means he tore it. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back to stood by the bank of Jordan. We are praying for revival. We are praying for God move. Men and women, every church in the world today want a shaking up in the churches. We need to do exactly what Elisha did. He rent his clothes. What is preventing the churches today is that we have not learned to rent our clothes. Sometimes your own clothes can disturb you from receiving a gift. Why am I pressing on this? When we turn to the New Testament, a man by name Bartimaeus was a blind man seeking for healing. What happened to him when Jesus passed by? The Bible says he cried and cried unto him. But the people that were following Jesus told him, "Shut up, blind man." But the more they cried unto him, "Shut up," the more he cries. He cried and cried and cried until Jesus heard his voice and asked the people to call him for him. And when they called him and he was coming, the Bible says the clothes that he was wearing were causing trouble for him to walk fast. So he did what? He rent it. He took it off. Maybe you are sitting here, you have been praying and praying, and there is no answer. You need to take that cloth. The cloth that you are wearing, that is preventing you. We need to pray to God to search our heart within us. You see, sometimes we come here, we talk about Pentecost, this, Holy Ghost and fire. Do you remember that in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that is where he always quote that at the day of Pentecost, that is what Peter said. But when you read chapter 2, verse 3, verse 2, before revival came to those people at Joel assembly, revival came. Do you know what he said to them? Rent your garment. Rent your garment. We need to be able to see that, yes, the garment pure and holy. Rent your heart, but not your garment. That is what Blind Bartimaeus did, because he knew if he was to go to Jesus with that garment, he would not be healed. Sometimes you know why I'm not getting my healing. Why am I prevented from this blessing? Set the garment that you are wearing and take it off. It may be a garment of depression, garment of unforgiveness, garment of illness. Take it off. Because Elisha wanted the power of Elijah. And before he could get the power of Elijah, the double portion that he asked, he says, no, I can't wear this. Unlike that man Elisha, because even whenever he was called, he had to do something. He was a farmer, well-grown man, a man who knows about farming. He had so many cows and everything. And the Bible says, when God told Elijah to go and lay his mantle upon him, immediately he put his mantle upon him and left. Elisha followed him. He said, why you follow me? He said, could you allow me to go and say goodbye to my mother, my father? And he killed all the cows and destroyed all the machine he had and came running to Elijah. That is how he received his call. He broke his bridges behind him. He was left with nothing. All that he was left was to get the power of the double portion of Elijah. You have to sacrifice something before you get something. So when Elijah received the double portion of the mantle, he took off all the clothes he wore and threw it somewhere else. And then came to the very place that Elijah and him were standing at the river Jordan. And he said, where is the power of Elijah? Where is the anointing? In order for him to know that, yes, he has received anointing, he took the mantle and hit the waters. And what happened? Exactly the same thing that happened to them when Elijah hit the waters. God is no respecter of any person. God loves you as he loves anybody. The only thing that you need to be is to be obedient. Because of his obedience, the double portion of the gift of the anointing of Elijah came upon him. And mine and mine and mine, if we were to go through the whole chapter of this book, you will know what God did with Elijah. and used him so much to cause revival in the land of Israel that whenever even he died, oh Jesus, the very bones, the dry bones, he didn't need to pray for the people, even for the dead. The dry bones that was in his coffin and everything in the grave, when they threw somebody who was dead, the moment the body hit those dry bones in the grave, he jumped up.
Amen.
As
Amen.
If he has been he jumped up. That is the man who asked for the double portion. And I tell you, yes, you need to rent your clothes. You know why you are sitting here? If Jesus had not died on the cross and prayed to the Father, the veil of the temple would have been still here. But the moment he cried, the Bible says the veil of the temple rented from top to the bottom so that you may have access to go to the presence of God and ask anything in the name of Jesus. Oh,
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is still on the throne. God's ears are open. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and forsake their evil ways and their iniquities, and pray unto me, I, the Lord God, will hear them. God will hear your prayers when you put everything in order. You see, we are in a battle. We think that we are all right. You are in a battle. Let me tell you, every one of us, we are fighting a battle, and the devil is bombarding many Christians today with depression, with anxiety, with failures, and all this. Now we have something like AI, artificial intelligence. Now people are doing so much wicked in the world today. We all know about the death of this man, Charlie Kecko White. Do you know what people are now saying? That some witches put a curse upon him. Where are the Christians? Let us put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against every wiles of the devil.
Amen.
Because we are in a battle indeed. You see, Elijah and Elisha, they fought. They fought and fought until when Elijah has conquered everything, the old devil of fear came to him through a woman, threatened him, and he ran for his life. Fear. Fear is going out in this world like a serpent. So many Christians are bound by the spirit of fear. They don't know where to turn to. They are afraid of their own shadow. But God has never given to us the spirit of fear. Right now, as you sit there and listen to the word of God, God is putting something in your heart. Elijah could go to a water, a river, that is causing trouble in a land. And when they told him, he said, this water is giving barren to the women in this country. They are not having any treating. He said, get me salt and pot. He put a salt in a pot and went to that river, put the salt and the water into it, and spoke to the water, the river. He says, from this day on, no more barrenness, no more any diabolic satanic power. You are healed. And in fact, it happened.
Amen.
This man that I'm talking about did more greater things. There was one occasion, all those prophets that, you know, there were some prophets in the land, they were not doing nothing holy. They were, I don't know what they were doing. But they came to follow him. And one day they said, the place that we are staying is too small. It's too straight for us. Let us go yonder. Go behind Jordan and cut some trees and build a house. He said, you people can go. One of them said, come with us. He said, no, the big demon, he said, I will go. So he went with them. And the Bible says, whenever they were felling the trees, the trees were beside the river. And one man was falling one tree, and the axe head fell into the water. And the Bible says, he cried out to Elijah, he said, Master, this is not mine, it's something that I have borrowed from somebody. And Elisha said, where did it fall? He said, here. He said, cut a tree, a branch for me. And he cut the branch, they gave it to him. And he put the branch into the water, and the axe head, listen to this, swim.
Right.
Oh my, we need somebody like that. The axe head swim. There was more magnetic power in the tree to withdraw the axe head. Swim to the tree and spread the branches. And he grabbed it. He said, here your axe. That man was so great. So whenever I started reading about him, I said, oh Lord, if all churches in the world will have the same spirit, there will be more wonders. There will be no more talking about this, about that. There will be no Muslim coming and challenging Christians about God's existence. We need something supernatural.
Amen.
In our assembly.
Amen.
Men that are filled with the Holy Ghost fire. It is no use for us to talk about it. It is only by God's Spirit. When they saw the miracles, they believed that is what is needful today in our assembly. We can build houses, we can build churches. It will be like the beautiful church with the beautiful gates where it was standing. When Peter and John went to gate, saw a crippled man sitting. The church has all the lights and all the organs, the chairs and everything nicely. But there was no power. There was no anointing. There was no preacher that has anointed until that day. When Peter and John made themselves real to this man, the cripple, they didn't even preach to him. All they said, look on us. Look on us. There is something in looking. There is a blessing and there is a curse in looking. What made our forefathers fail? They looked. He looked. And when he looked, what happened? They failed. And in the day of Pentecost, Peter and John said, look on us. Look on us. Why? Because they have rented all their garments. Everything paid the price. From the Holy Ghost fire. Anointed. They were living, but not them. Somebody was living in them who was powerful. So they can say to the crippled man, we are not preaching to you. We are preaching not. But to you, we want you to know. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. So Peter said, look, the man kept looking. You ask for money, you ask for silver. You ask for gold, we have none. We are just common people saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. We are a new creation. So look at this. And the man kept his eyes looking. And Peter opened his mouth and said, by the way, silver and gold, I have none. But such time I give to you. Many, many men and women around the world are looking for something. Can you tell them that you have something to give to them? Peter says, no silver I have, no. But such I have I give to you. Amen. And the Bible says the man looked at him. And he looked, and Peter saw that, yes, he has seen. He said, in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And that very moment, he stood up. The funniest thing about this, the Bible says he started to jump. He started to dance. There is a dancing. God gave him a dancing feet.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. And he walked into the temple. There is a temple with all the goodness and everything, bright and everything. But that didn't save that man. That didn't do nothing for that man. Until Peter and John came and gave him the way. I've come to a place now that I've been praying to God for the double portion of anointing. Because there is no use talking up. I was reading a Bible. This man, William Branham, even I sent some of his meetings to some of you people. There is nobody like that man. Whenever I read and saw what this man was doing, he was a saint. Yeah. A saint prophet. He was not these prophets that are going about doing this and doing that. No. Everything that man said has been confirmed in our generation today. What he prophesied, that is what you see. You know that he was a man of God. Don't let us play churches. Too much has been done in Jesus' name in the churches. We need evidence. And the only thing that we can do is to rent our clothes, seek in our heart what is preventing me to pay the price that this man paid. I look at William Branham and said, my, he was 3 years old when an angel came to him and spoke to him. And that man never forgot what he received from the angel. He said everything that is going on today in the world, homosexual and all those things, he prophesied about women wearing men's clothes. Nowadays, when you go to the town, to the city, you can't tell whether this is a woman or a man. You can't. Because they are wearing the same trousers that you are wearing, the same shirt. And William Branham prophesies about that. And this is happening. This is what you know, that he's a real prophet. A prophet that has the word of God dwelling in him mightily. Let us press on towards the mark.
Amen.
Don't give hope.
Amen.
Don't give up your hope in Christ. We may be so small here, but I tell you, if we keep ourselves nearer to the fire, I tell you, there is going to be a burning bush in this place that nobody will be able to enter into this place if he is not born again. The fire will burn. There will be a shaking up. God is going to shake the whole place. And that is what God is going to do if we keep ourselves holy, righteous, pleading the blood. Day in and day out. Let us, don't worry about numbers, not at all. When I think about Paul and Silas, these people were two people. Eh? Anybody would have said, Lord, I've washed my hands from you. Going to speak, and they end up in jail with chains on their feet, on their hands bound. And yet still the Bible say at the night, midnight hour.
Amen.
That is what I always tell you people, make a noise. You see, when you make a noise, you are waking God. You are disturbing God. Because God inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
So the Bible says, Paul and Silas, instead of them sitting on a chair or lying down and say, oh, what a God that we are serving. They never. With a gladness and peace dwelling in them, they counted all things for joy for the trials that they were going through. And Paul looked at Silas. He said, Silas, what are you thinking? Silas said, let's pray. They started praying. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And a song came to Paul. He says, the blood. It was the blood. It was the blood. They started singing. And when they started singing, God started to hear. And when God heard the mention of the blood, you know what God was doing? God was tapping his feet. And that feet tapping shook the whole jail. And broke all the chains. Opened the doors. Every prisoner was set free. Hallelujah. Oh, we are serving the great. We are serving a wonderful God. I like music. That is why I like my brother Barry. You see, music, there's something new. It lifts something from you, gives you strength. Sometimes whenever I'm going through some trials, I will go and sit at the piano and then I'll put some few notes. And by the time I open my eyes, every burden lifted. God will lift you up today, will build you up today, will grant you all what you need today if you believe in him. May God bless you for listening today. In Jesus, may you receive the double portion today, right now, in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? If you are sick, you are suffering from any disease, I'm asking you right now, in Jesus' name, put your hand on the very sickness. And believe that the double portion of anointing of Christ is here to set you free and give you your heart desire right now. Yes, it was the blood. Yes. It was the blood. Lord, this very moment, I've given your word that you gave me. You are the God who has never left yourself without a witness. The Bible says you send forth thy word and heal them. And deliver them from all their destructions. Your children have heard your message. Lord, if could allow the dry bones of Elisha to raise a dead man from the grave, then there is nothing impossible with you today. Every sickness, diseases, every pain, every disorder, sickness, in the name of Jesus, by your power and authority, in that resurrected name, Lord, I command every sickness and disease to die by the power of the blood right now. May you heal and heal and heal from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. I rebuke every power of any witchcraft, any disease, any backache, headache, anything that is troubling your people right now, command them right now to leave and go in Jesus' name. Breathe upon them right now as you did in the days gone by. Let the mantle of your Holy Ghost fire fall, fall, fall right now upon each and everyone here. Open the eyes of the understanding and let them know that you are a faithful God who answers prayer. In Jesus' name, I command any demon spirit that have been sent to terrorize your people, putting fear, doubt, anything, I command it to go back to the sender. In Jesus' name, right now, amen and amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet. Praise God. Is God good? Praise God. I believe that's the word of the Lord. Thank Laurie for the message. Hold my own hand. God's good, isn't it? Praise God. God is so good. Praise God. I'm not going to take no time. I'm going to get Brother Gary to come and sing a few songs. Then we'll come back tonight. But I've been wanting Laurie to preach for some time. Laurie said to me a while back he was taking a wee break. And then I heard he was preaching somewhere else. And I thought to myself, if he's preaching somewhere else, we need to get him preaching here as well. But ain't you glad? Wasn't it a good word, brother? Yeah. Praise God. And we need to, anything that's holding us back, any garment, as our brother said, anything, the enemy can try and come in on you, put stuff on you. But get rid of it. Go all out for the Lord. Amen. You know, when I was young, probably about 14, 15, I read a lot. Well, that's when I found the William Branham books. They were under my bed. Suitcase full of them. And I used to pray for the double portion. And then somebody gave me a good town laugh one day and said I shouldn't be doing that. And then I thought after, maybe I shouldn't be allowed to pray like that. Pray like that, you know. And but I'll tell you, it's good to be hungry for God, isn't it? Hungry for the Lord. And we certainly want the double portion, don't we? Praise the Lord. God is so good. God bless you. We'll be back tonight at 6, the Lord willing and the Lord's willing. Come ahead, Brother Gary. God bless you, Brother Larry.
Amen. Let's try and sing that chorus. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice and sing. As Laurie was saying there towards the end, I was just thinking the other day, sometimes you have a wee conversation in your own head with yourself, but you know, I believe it was in the 1930s that William Branham prophesied of the car driving in the highway with no driver. But can you imagine how far-fetched that would sound? It doesn't sound far-fetched today, but in the 1930s, that was quite an impossible conception to think that. And now we have it. Electric cars, they can drive themselves through satellite, things like that. But it really is quite remarkable. Praise God. Put on the garments of praise for the spread of happiness.
Put on the